Our high school guidance counselor used to ask us what you would do if you had $1 million, didn't have to work. And then invariably, whatever you'd say, that was supposed to be your career. So if you wanted to fix old cars, then you're supposed to be an auto mechanic.
So what did you say?
I never had an answer. I guess that's why I'm working at Initech.
No, you're working at Initech because that question is bullshit to begin with. If everyone listened to her, there'd be no janitors because no one would clean up if they had $1 million.
If I had $1 million. If I had $1 million.
I'm talking about millions of dollars.
What would you do if you had $1 million?
I'll tell you what I'd do, man. Two chicks at the same time, man.
We're living in a material world and I am a material girl. Or boy.
Well, what about you now? What would you do?
Besides two chicks at the same time?
Well, yeah.
Nothing.
Nothing, huh?
I would relax. I would sit on my ass all day. I would do nothing.
Well, you don't need $1 million to do nothing, man. Take a look at my cousin. He's broke, don't do
If I had $1 million, if I had $1 million, well, I'd buy you a house. I would buy.
Well, North Bay Stacks and Jacks, I'm Tim Fowler. She's Jay-Z on the board. SP Futures up 650 now. Running up here, Dow up 62, NASDAQ up 28. So we're looking to move to the plus side here pretty good. So that would be a good thing. We had oil down a buck, though. Some report came out and said that oil supply is, despite Iran and Venezuela being offline, oil supply is at record level. So oil was up yesterday, and now it's back down a little bit today, under 70 bucks. So we will see how that plays out. I don't know. They've won 69.39, so it's down 98 cents. 10-year yield, 2.78, or 2.979. So let's call that 2.98, getting very, very close to the 3. We have a CPI number coming out today that I'm kind of looking at. We'll see if, of course, you can't believe any of these guys. I guess that's a editorial remark, Lou. You can't believe any of these guys. What do you think?
I mean, we're at the point now. I was just talking to somebody about that here yesterday in Denver about you can't trust. I don't trust. Neither one of us trust the mainstream press. We don't trust alternative press. We don't trust any department, any figures coming out of the government. So who do we trust for accurate data on anything? I don't know.
Actually, I don't know if you had a chance to listen to the show yesterday. I think if you dig through some of the numbers and actually look at them yourself and not the report, as I try to do with Carl, because he digs through them like a terrier.
I think
some of the stuff is actually published. It's just up to you to. And I'm not near as good at it as he is, but he spotted some things in the labor report. He said that are absolutely scary in the last month. 2 million more people. Went more off the rolls again, and then in some of the household survey showed 1 million people less working. The establishment survey was fine, but the household survey absolutely sucked.
Well, the participation rate has risen
up until last month.
Until last month. Well, yeah. I hadn't seen that number, but so I can't say anything. But I mean, the participation rate has risen, but not as fast as it should. In other words, we've got a lot of people who stayed, you know, who are collecting, I think who are collecting disability or some other kind of entitlement payment. But I think that we've got a large permanent class of people who are perfectly happy to, you know, live at whatever level they can with whatever benefit they can and not come back into the workforce. And I think the impact of the opioid crisis and just sort of generic drug abuse I think the impact of that is a lot greater than we think or than we're capable of determining. And I think that's affecting our participation rate, and I think it's catching up with us.
In August, we went for the people who were not, these are August numbers now, labor numbers, which is the ones we just reported, right? This is what he's looking at.
Yeah.
This is what he's looking at. We went from 95,598 in the not, what do they call these guys, not in labor force numbers, to 96,290,000. So it's like a 700,000 person. He looks at the household survey, so that might be different. But it's a huge amount of people that are in that class. And we actually had people that are I'm looking at this. It's an interesting report. Everything's sort of on one page. Household data historical, A1. Employment status of the non-institutional population 16 years and older, 1983 to date. Actually, I have a run here somewhere where I go back to 19. You know, they used to count people, anybody over 14 was in the labor force, Lou? Not 16?
Yeah, which is fascinating to me because, yep. Since 1937 or 38, I guess 38, I believe, it's been illegal to employ people under the age of 16 in almost any job except for, you know, paperboy or things like that. And
what do you got against paperboys?
I'm sorry.
What do you got against paperboys?
Nothing. It's just it was illegal to employ kids. I mean, it used to be pre 1938 you could put kids to work, you know, almost at any age. But my point is that why would they be reaching back to 14? I mean, yeah. I mean, I'm not even, you know, even 16 is at this.
I got my first job when I was 14 on a worker's permit, but you could only work like 15 hours a week.
Yeah, yeah, and so, sort of generally, you're quite limited in terms of what you can do with kids, and it's just curious that they were reaching back to 14.
Well, this is what's so bizarre about these numbers, though. If you go to the top and read down, which of course thinks it's damn long of it, the civilian non-institutional population is actually up. It's 258,066, so it's up like 200,000 people from July. The people in the work that they consider to be available for the workforce is actually down from 162,000 to 161,700. So we actually have, so that number, like you mentioned, was 62.7, right? But there are actually other people available to work. Now, there's going to be a standard number here, and they're always going to be in high school, always going to be in college, those kinds of things, and it might change a little bit. So we actually have less people employed under a household survey than last month, even though the number was 200,000 that are good. This actually shows we had 155,965 employed in July, 155,542. These are millions now in August. So
that's got to be, you know, that's got to be. I would think that's got to be people going back to school. Now that I think about it,
well, but
if
I mean,
if they're reaching down down that far, that's people going back to school, I think.
Okay, but I mean, but here's the thing that's a problem, and I've done this a few times, so I'm not going to do it again. I have it someplace, but. If you take 10-year periods, Lou, from like 1983 to 1993 or 1973 to 1983, the amount of people that come into the population, virtually all of them get a job. In other words, from 1983 to 1993, the amount of people available to work went from 111 million to 129.
Right.
So it went up like 18 million people. The amount of people,
the economy exploded in the early
days. Well, no, but I mean that's standard.
Yep.
But I'm saying, but the amount of people not in the labor force went from like 62.6 to 65. So let's say, it's 1/6. So what the hell is that? That's
about 5%.
No, 1/6. What's 1/6 is 1/5, 20%. So say 17% of the people available to be in the workforce. We're not in the labor force, and 80 some percent actually got a job.
Yeah.
So let's say 85% of the people who became eligible in those 10 years got a job. And when you drop down to 2017 through 2007, those numbers are totally different. You went from in 2007, you went from 153 to 160, so 7 million people more got available for work. Guess how many people, the people in the not in labor force went from 78 to 94.
Yeah.
So actually, you had three times as many people almost drop out of the workforce as went in. They didn't all get it.
Yeah.
And I don't, no matter who you are, president or whatever, I don't, this is, if you look at these numbers, that's what I, whenever I get into a Pier 6 a political argument, the way I try and throw water on the fire is, you look at these numbers like Carl does, over 20 and 30 year spans. Well, you can't even tell when the president's changed. It's the same degradation in some areas. I mean, some areas are better, obviously.
It's a number of factors, but I'd love to hear an intelligent assessment of this. I mean, one of the things that we talk about in
you're saying I just didn't give you one?
Well, no, one of these we talk about in terms of employment law. So people stay in college longer because college loans are cheaper, and that's a factor. So that takes a certain number out of the force. The disability rolls have swelled because disability during the recession, disability payments became the new unemployment compensation. But the trouble is that the disability payments never end. We have more people on just there was a time frame in the. In the latter stages of the Obama administration, where we had more people on disability rolls than we had in the manufacturing operation in this country. There were more people drawing disability in West Virginia, for example, than were actually working. I mean, it's stunning.
Well, I mean, I'm gonna have to try and find it, Lou, because we should tweet it out. Let me ask you a question. I'm not much. If somebody puts together a piece like that guy did, that guy. The Washington Post writer who did the Horseshoe of Despair was the name of it? And he put how many articles together, and it has to do with that area. He basically went from West Virginia south to Mississippi, Alabama, across Louisiana, up into Missouri. And so that area is just, you know, basically in crapo shape. And, you know, it's a drug thing. It's just, I mean, how many people did he have on various checks in the double wide trailer? Like three generations of people all getting checks? And the kids that were supposedly autistic, and the lady refused to bring them to a doctor to even see if they were autistic. Won't let anybody in, just wanted her checks. I mean, they're all living in the same place. Can you imagine the crap that's going on in that? I don't even want to imagine what the uncles are doing.
I think the X-Files did an episode on that.
I can't imagine what the uncles are doing to the daughter. I don't even want to go there. But I don't know. Actually, and sort of with this, Lou, as I just was reading this weekend, the stuff I read, they're saying now everybody's all over these prescription opioids, and that's not even the problem anymore. It's all fentanyl. But while we're fighting the last war, the new war is already upon us.
Oh yeah, well that's the nature of addictive behavior, and again, this is one of the reasons why the mortality rate. For white males between the ages of 25 and 55 is going through.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if Carl's dug into that number, but there's another one. I mean, that should be a national crisis.
But one of the interesting parts in that article, and my question was, I should complete my thought once in a while. When somebody does that, three or four pages in the Washington Post, probably five, six times. Okay, so it's a serious piece of work. Do they publish it as a pamphlet? Do they publish that as a book, or do they just go back to the papers and read it in the papers? I don't even know. I mean,
those series are available online.
Okay,
I've seen them. I've seen post stuff online. It's behind a firewall, but you can get to it generally.
Well, because what I'm saying when you mention these people are all on disability, first of all, I'm not disagreeing with you. I think you're absolutely correct, because that's what the article was all about. But they were talking about this area in Alabama that had some manufacturing facility. I don't know who the hell it was. Anyway, of course, they left. And they had a lot of these people. And whatever the manufacturing facility was, it sort of debilitated people. It was really hard work, very physical, that type of thing. And you're talking about people that are 55, 58, and they were interviewing this lady, and she was on disability. She had a bad back. Evidently, she had worked in a nursing home for 35 years, you know, pulling people out of bed and stuff like that before. Now, if you go in their places, they put the strap around you, and a machine picks people up to can't, you know, that type of thing. I don't think they've had those in those days. She goes, I have a bad back. She goes, everybody who's ever worked there by the time they're 50, 55. And she said something to this guy, and the guy said he couldn't believe it. He goes, I don't even know a person that's ever had a job where you got to sit down. You were always on your feet. You were always lifting something. You were always doing something. So if you could find me a job like that where I could, you know, whatever it could be, the skill set, she goes, I can work, but there's no way I can go back and work in the nursing home and start picking people up again. I mean, that's not happening at age 58. My back's terrible.
Well, and right, and this goes back to, and I do want to talk about some of the stuff that we have.
Please,
talked
yeah,
about
give
before,
us about it. Give us
we
about
have
now.
Talked about this before, and it goes back to the lack of understanding, I think, on the part of local governments, because they are populated by people who come out of the local school systems. But it is just a failure of our education system to properly prepare people for jobs that are going to be available. You know, I love reading somebody like Aaron Wren, who we've had on the show, who talks about, you know, the development of places in the Midwest that are now starting to flower again because of people getting out of the big cities and the fact that you can do work from almost anywhere. That's true, except that, you know, I've talked to any number of clients who say this work from anywhere thing presupposes that you can set up shop in a place, some rural community, you know, where the real estate's cheap and you know, there's no union to deal with, and you can start operating there. And the short answer is, in probably 90% of the cases, you can't, because the nature of the work that you can do from anywhere is well beyond the capacity of the people who went through that local school system to perform. And that's even a problem in places like major metropolitan areas, like Denver, for example. If you talk to the technology manufacturers here in Denver, the biggest problem they have is finding people who have come up through the local school systems who are ready to step into these kinds of jobs at a high school or out of junior college. And it is an ongoing problem. It's one that Kevin and I have talked about before, and it's there. And when you see, you know, the major business in town, you know, take off, and it shuts down everybody's ability to get a job, that's part of the reason why.
Well, the people who define this stuff, and I'll be nasty this morning, why not? The narrow-minded people we elect, or the narrow-minded people who run and we elect. When I look at this list of people who run for mayors in Chicago, Lou, there isn't a person there I think is qualified. Not one.
I read that list. That's about the funniest list of goofballs. And I mean, I'm sorry. If you've got a population that's going to elect any of those people, you get what you deserve.
Well, you can only vote for who's there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the guy, McCarthy, the guy who was the former, I'll keep this real brief, the former police guy, and I actually liked him as a police commissioner. I think, you know, the morale was bad because he actually tried to crack the whip on some of these guys who don't do anything in the police force when there's a lot of them. Not everybody, obviously, but he was on there. He started, they said, well, how are you going to pay for all this? And he goes, I'm going to put a casino downtown. And he goes, millions and millions of dollars are heading to Hammond every day. And I'm thinking, I think Police Commissioner McCarthy, you need to take a ride to Hammond. You think that place is making millions and millions of dollars every day? Look at it. What are you, out of your mind? Mm-hmm. These guys have no concept of numbers. Well, I mean, to get back to what we were saying, why do people feel that education that people are paying for, public education, which people are paying through the nose for, why should it stop at age 16? You've got buildings, you've got facilities. I mean, this is what Kevin's talking about in his schools in Indiana.
Right.
I mean, why not? I mean, I was talking to some people who were looking for, you know, they had an operation that did this scientific instrument. I won't go into it because people know who the place is, but they were looking for some money to expand because their business was going like hotcakes. And the guy who assembled their stuff, well, he was an auto mechanic, so he knew how to read, you know, drawings and stuff. But he went to a 6 or 8 week school to learn how to assemble electronic panels and so forth. That's all it took him. Because he had some skill and, you know, using his hands and fixing stuff. Lou, the guy's work was spectacular.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, this is not something we can't do. I mean, we could have two or three of the city high schools open at night and have adult classes. Why? Who's to say that our teachers get to go home at 3 o'clock? Why don't they be there when we want them there?
I think that these are the kinds of innovative thinking that needs to be pushed. And I would, but. I wonder what would happen with the Chicago Teachers Union vote if you stood up and said, you know what, I'm tired of our schools being shut down for 2.5 months during the summer. I propose to go to an all year round school, so the kids don't lose track of what they've learned over the summer.
Why don't we do something
we keep young people off the streets in downtown Chicago during the months when everybody's being blown away?
Well, that's another possibility. But why not have those schools open in the evening for adults in the summer?
Sure, same deal.
10 weeks. All right. So anyway, we got on the subject because of Carl's incredible report yesterday. Now that I'm looking at these numbers, I could see why he smelled a rat, Lou. I mean, these things have really changed in the last month. How do we get that many people going out of the?
I think part of it is I don't know if it's seasonal. I'd like to see it over the course of several years, but I suspect part of it is school. I suspect again.
All right, but it's a half a million. Right now, when you say something like that, I'm going to look right at the numbers, which is what I do. It's a half a million more people in this out of work category than there were in
April.
Next
time you do this, if you're gonna get fixated on one of these reports, you need to email that thing to me so that you and I have the same report in front of us.
Right. Well, I'm saying, I'm first of all, I'm agreeing with you. Yes, the July to August number probably has some of that going to it because people go back to school quicker. I agree with that. But now, if I compare it to the April number, it's 500,000 over the April number.
Well, we could sit here and speculate forever on something like this. I don't know. Without the report in front of me and without somebody else who looks at these things for a living, I would not be qualified.
Well, I would never do this with Carl because he's so much better at it than me. That's why we have him on. But, anyway, so what else is there? What's going on? Are you guys, do you want some of the water from this hurricane out there? I think you need some.
We could definitely use it. The biggest reservoir in the state is down to almost a historic low.
Is that the Dillon Reservoir?
But fortunately, we just had another fire break out north of Denver, but nothing. I mean, it's jump containment, but and we're back in the 90s here, so it's hot, dry again. I'm just kind of keeping my.
Is there a season where you guys actually get rain, or is it just all snow and
wind? Oh yeah, no. There's a summer monsoon season where you can almost set your watch by the thunderstorms coming up off the mountains. It's just a question of how much moisture pushes in from the southwest and where the jet takes it. But yeah, there's generally a summer season where you get rain almost every afternoon. Not a lot. But you get rain.
But that's all over.
I'm much more interested in what's about to happen in South Carolina, and North Carolina. I mean, I used to live there, and I'm just trying to think about how many communities and little towns and homes are located near streams or creeks or water runoff areas, and how fast those places can become inundated when you get 10 inches, 12 inches of rain.
Well, there's if you have every area in this country, I know people probably know this, but every area there's how's this sound, Lou? There's a guy in every area that could tell you, like in the Chicago area, if you said, okay, you guys just got 4 inches of rain over the entire area, you can find somebody in the bureau of something that will pop out a map and say it's 6 inches of rain. Here's everybody who's flooded. I mean, they know exactly where the stuff's all going. They know what the 100-year storm is. They know all those kinds of things.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. I know that. The issue, the big wild card here this year is the fact that the ground is saturated out there already.
Yeah,
such a wet.
Yeah, because it rained all last weekend. I mean, the Cubs got rained out twice. I mean, the whole area is. But even so, Lou, 25 inches of rain, you could start from a dead drought, and you got a problem.
Well, it just multiplied. It's just multiplied by whatever. If they get, I saw some report that said 40 inches of rain coming in right on, maybe right over the shore area there and extending maybe 15 or 20 miles inland. You get 40 inches of rain, you're right, anywhere. You're in big trouble. You get 40 inches of rain in the Gobi Desert, you're going to have a flood.
Lou, without casting any aspersions or mocking any of my fellow news people, and when this becomes like the stock market, when you start talking about a hurricane, at the end of the day, you want to have the prettiest woman in the tightest dress giving the, I'll go for 50 inches because it's all entertainment.
I mean, on the Weather Channel? Oh yeah. No, I know. I mean, we haven't had a major hurricane hit the, well, Harvey last year hit Houston, but.
That was pretty major if you're in Houston.
Pardon me?
That was pretty major if you're in Houston.
Yeah, it was a major hurricane. I mean, we're not... Weather sells advertising. It's why in Chicago, if you get a snowfall, people start getting hysterical. It's why weather people, yeah, you're so right. The best-looking woman, you know, in the tightest dress. We've talked about the fact that the weather, the people doing the weather have gotten better-looking, in better shape, and wearing much tighter clothing than
Are you
than
saying Harry Volkman is not getting a job today, or P.J. Hoff?
I don't think so.
I think you're probably right.
Yeah.
Just saying.
I wanted to talk a little bit about, since we've got some sports stuff to talk about, a little bit about the Serena Williams.
Yeah, you got 30 seconds. You're gonna have to hold this thought, but start it out.
Okay. So I watched the meltdown, and I've seen it happen over and over again. I'm still trying to figure out why, you know, U.S. Tennis Association is going after that judge. I don't understand. My understanding was he had no choice. Once she smashed her racket, that was the second infraction. And then to
Lou, why don't you hang on to that for a second? SP futures up 6.25. Dow futures up 64. NASDAQ futures up 30. Oil down 97 cents based on this report. We'll be right back. Stacks and Jacks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTIsecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTIsecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters: the Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures Trading Recommendations, and our twice weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a 1 month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll-free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure.
But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Right here, right now. Right now.
Hello, welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Holly. Mr. Will Michaels, Jay-Z on the board. 2 days in a row. S&P futures up 6.25. Dow futures up 62. Nasdaq futures up 28. A load of Turkish... Turkish Central Bank has just raised their interest rate 6.25%. That's a number.
You think? That'll scare somebody.
Yeah, I think that's a real number. Imagine that, 6.25%. Wow. DAX up 85.7. FTSE down 14.2. That's a little interesting. CAC round up 26.5. So kind of uneven over in Europe. Asia finally to the upside here. Nikkei up 216.1. It's all 1%. Shanghai bouncing as well, up 31.1. 2686 still could not get back to 2700. These guys are in pretty serious bear markets, but today's going to help out some. Hang Seng up 669, 2.5%. As now there's rumors afoot. Lou, is there any chance I could be wrong that President Big Bazoo is going to declare victory on this Chinese deal with some kind of a deal without getting any details maybe a week before the election? Is there any chance that doesn't happen? I mean, it's getting so I can write the script of this thing. And I'm probably not the only one.
Well, I think that's possible. Have we ever resolved the Canadian NAFTA thing that was boiling about 2 weeks ago? I don't think so.
Oh, silver, by the way, down 6 cents. Gold down 60 cents after big run-ups yesterday. Jay-Z, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports, and then we'll talk about this, Lou.
Don't forget to talk about, you know, finish.
We're going to talk about Serena.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Anyway, good morning, everyone. It is now 6:36. Chicago weather this morning was cool, per usual, but we're going to make it up to about 75 around mid-afternoon, coming back to about 65 in the evening. We're looking at a pretty sunny day today, maybe, but some clouds. Phoenix will hit about 106 in the middle of the day today, and will cool down to about 88 in the evening. Cubs are still in first place in regards to the National League Central, despite their 5-1 loss to the Brewers last night. Tim Anderson's two-run homer with two outs in the 12th inning gave the White Sox a 4-2 victory over the Royals last night, ending their 7-game losing streak. And the Diamondbacks had a gut-punching loss to the Rockies last night, ending the game 5-4 with a walk-off home run in the 9th inning. Car fire reported earlier on the Eisenhower blocking the two left lanes, causing delays. That's all to report. Back to you.
So, Lou, do you think Jay-Z's been hanging around with Eric or something with these new adjectives, the gut-punching loss? I like that.
I call it a gut-punching loss.
Yeah.
Gut-wrenching loss.
Gut-wrenching, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's, I mean,
it was.
What can I say? You hang around smart people. You use big words. You pick them up.
Well, but she was doing this last time she was on. The only problem was she had only about 5 flowery adjectives, and she had 6 games, so she ran out of adjectives.
I'm trying to broaden my vocabulary. Thank you.
You're doing a good job, yes. Anyway, Lou.
Oh, no.
Serena, I have a question for you, not being much of a tennis bluff. Other than soccer, where you kick a guy out, you got to play with less people, is tennis the only game where you actually get docked points? I mean, I can't imagine in baseball the manager kicking dirt on the umpire's shoes and the umpire going, okay, the guy's out. That's strike 3 or something. I mean, I never even dreamed that could happen, that you could actually dock somebody points.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and in fact, it's a strike rule in terms of escalating punishment. And I don't know what the as I understand the rules, that the line judge or this judge had not much choice once she crosses a particular line. He puts an infraction on her, initially for coaching, which admittedly happened, and he warns her. So at that point, and I've had judges like this in courtrooms. It really doesn't matter what your whether you're right or wrong, or you think you're right or wrong, or even what the facts are necessarily. If the guy making the call is saying X, he's always right, because he's got the ultimate hammer. And for whatever reason, I don't know whether she thought she would. I mean, she's had meltdowns like this before. For whatever reason, she just decided, you know what, I'm just going to push this. And I don't know if she was out of control. I don't know if this was all calculated to try to shake her, rattle her opponent. I think she's certainly capable. Ms. Williams is certainly capable of that kind of tactic. But regardless, the calling the guy names and yelling at him from the
yeah, but Lou, I'd say I'm not a big huge tennis fan, but I think I know. John McEnroe made a career out of bitching at linesmen, and I've never heard one person say, "Oh, you just forfeited the game."
It doesn't matter. It's this judge. These are individuals, and this guy is known for being a hard ass.
But I'm saying, I have no problem with the amount of money these people making with her meltdown, giving her a $100,000 fine for that behavior on national TV. But to forfeit a game, I never even thought that was possible.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. This is a real penalty. And when he takes a point from her on the second infraction, I mean, that's the warning shot. That's the don't do this again.
Okay, so she would have kept talking. What would he have done? He would have forfeited it for her? And all of a sudden, everybody walks off with the commercial people paying for those commercials, saying, "I just paid for nothing."
I don't know what the next step after. If you're a moron, I think it may reset after you forfeit a game.
Well, at some point, these matches are so tight. You take a point, you take a game, you say, you know what, I might as well not even be here. I mean, I don't know if one game means that much. I never played tennis, but at some point, you'll say, you know what, we forfeited a softball game once, Lou, and I took my team off the field, which is very bizarre, but we did.
I mean, this is one of these situations. I mean, if you listen to some of the people who are trying to come to her defense, they're saying, well, this is a Grand Slam championship. He should never have gotten himself in the middle of it, blah, blah, blah. And, my response to that is, if the judge doesn't put himself in the middle of this in this kind of a situation, the player does. The player decides, I'm going to press to test.
What was the original
reason for her to walk to, and people say, well, a guy could have gotten away with this. I don't know that. He's docked men for whatever reason. Apparently the male players that have gone with him or worked with him recognize when he says, if you do it again, I'm going to hit you or hammer you. And they say, okay, I get it.
Well, I mean, it's sort of like I don't know. I mean, again, there's people that have short fuses all over the place. What was the original complaint?
That she was getting coaching from her coach.
How much coaching can you do from somebody in tennis in the stands?
You can signal to her, and that's where the coach was.
To do what? Don't hit it into the net?
He was signaling her to come up to play closer to the net, because that was jamming that would jam the other player.
Okay.
And you're not allowed. I mean, he was clearly doing it. He admitted he was doing it. He admitted he was breaking the rule. And his defense was, everybody else does it. And I'm going, well, that's not a defense. So.
Well, I mean, maybe half the people in the stands that know tennis were waving the same way.
I'm just saying he admitted he was doing it, and she responded to it. So that's what that was the violation. That torqued her off. and then she lost her temper. As I said, she's done this before. She's had meltdowns before, but she doesn't make a practice of it. And I think it was tactical, or maybe
well,
it could strategic.
Be. You go back on these things that have happened. Again, I'm trying to play devil's advocate here a little bit lightly,
sure.
Because there are times in sports where I mean, back in the day when the tower rule and the bats, okay,
mm-hmm.
You know, all of a sudden, it was supposed to be up what 6 inches, 8 inches.
Yeah, something like that.
I know a lot about baseball. Okay, so I'm watching baseball games for years, and if everybody didn't have it a foot and a half up the bat, there was something wrong with them. All of a sudden, the guy hits a home run, and they pull the bat out, and he's the best player, and he comes out and argues, and you throw the guy out. Well, you might as well forfeit the game. Well, I mean, at that point, and yet if you went and looked at all the bats on the other team, you'd find them all in the same spot. You know, I mean, you know, at some point,
wasn't that
Brett?
Yeah. Right, yeah, George Brett from Kansas City.
Yes,
right.
So I'm saying, I mean, it's at some point here, you just can't determine the outcome to that extent on something that started out that small. I don't think
but,
you should.
But if you escalate it, and that's what she did, she escalated it. That's why I say I don't put the blame on the line judge. He did nothing that was technically wrong, and if you put yourself I've had this happen in the courtroom. If you put yourself in a situation with the judge where you are going to basically force the judge to cut you a pass, then and you're relying then totally on the largesse of the judge, and it really doesn't matter, you know, well, I think I should be allowed to get away with this. It's what that individual judge is doing at that individual moment in time. And if you push that line, you have no excuse and no justification.
As you well know, I'm not a defender of people who lose their temper because I try never to lose mine. But if in fact, like the George Brett incident, if in fact everybody's got a coach that's got them waving them front and waving them back, how much that helps you, I have no freaking idea. But if everybody's doing that, this guy found one hell of a time to make a point of it in the final of the U.S. Open.
He didn't. But the point is this. He didn't posture anything.
S&P futures up 6.25. Dow futures up 64. NASDAQ futures up 30. We'll be right back. Stacks and Jacks.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs. Interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous. No return on cash balances. May have some invested a little too much for comfort. Some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with John Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we're also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters, the Daily News, our daily stock and futures trading recommendations, and our twice-weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll-free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control. Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello, welcome back to Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tom Hollings, Mr. Lou Michaels. She's Jay-Z on the board. She's becoming a very aggressive JD on the board. She's becoming a serious producer over there. I like that. SP Futures up 675. Dow Futures up 68. NASDAQ Futures up 27. Although, Lou, I will have to say, although we might get some outpeep from the engineering spot over there, I'm going to say she's watching Maddie Weber's dog, and after one day, I'm going to say it's dog one, Jay-Z zero.
Have to second that opinion.
Are you going to gain control? You got two more days left.
Absolutely. But anyway, I thought, you know, Tom is kind of sarcastic sometimes. I'm not like a sarcastic, but, you know, just to like mess with you.
Yes.
And so he's like, so, just like, what do you think? Are you going to be the owner of the house or is the dog? And I just kind of thought he was kidding. He was like, the dog is the owner of that house. And I was like, I don't think I've ever underestimated something so much in my life. Like, this dog is such a sweetheart, but he is the owner.
Maddie, he's turned every. Matt Weber is—he's being flummoxed. But the guy's a year-old kind of terrier mix of guy. Get a load of this, Lou. He's such a mix. Part of him you have to shave, and part of him sheds. You ever heard of a dog like that?
Oh God!
But now everything is a game. So if you get the leash, even though he loves to go for a walk, he wants you to chase him around the sofa for an hour to get the leash out.
Yeah. I think we. You know, I've talked about this a little bit before. We dramatically underestimate the intelligence and the personalities of dogs and even cats. Although I don't know cats well enough, but certainly dogs. There's a great video a piece on Twitter about this guy who had one of his dogs needs to get their two golden labs and he needs to give ear medicine to them. And the dog that doesn't need the ear medicine patiently lines up for and basically demands to have ear medicine put in his ears too, and it's just hilarious.
He wants a placebo.
What's the video?
What is going through his head? There's a very definite personality there that's operating.
I got a quick Serena Williams question.
Sure.
Why not just toss the coach out of the stands?
Mm-hmm. Interesting. I don't know. I think because the easiest thing to do is to warn the player and give the player a warning, and that should shut it down. Mm-hmm. I assume they will remove spectators, if they have removed spectators and coaches if it keeps going on, but after you forfeit a point or forfeit a game, mm-hmm. then I think the player would get the word.
Hey Lou, I got one for you because we have Faris is here and he's letting us finish up, but somehow or another yesterday I get this thing.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, Fari.
Good morning,
Fari. You might be interested in this. I get this thing. I don't know why. I get stuff in my emails all the time. I'm sure everybody does. But one of them I've stuck with is this outfit that gives you, they essentially give you weirdo questions about wars and things, and then people pine in an answer. You know, some good answers, some not so good. But if there's a question about jet fighters, a guy like Fari might pile in and say, no, this one's better than that one. Well, the one yesterday was, what economically did the Roman Empire screw up to essentially go under? And I'm thinking, wow, I had 4 years of lead. I better read this. You know, it was a pretty solid article. Get a load of this. Evidently, back in the years of Caesar, whatever their coin was, and it's a denarius or something, was was 85% silver, and it roughly one coin roughly equaled a day's work from like a good guy or lady, I suppose. So, and as time went by, as the Romans didn't want to fight anymore, they started dropping the amount of silver in this thing, and to the point where it got down to like 8%, and they're giving them out to all the people in the provinces to go fight the wars for them. So, and they've essentially degraded their currency over a period of 200 or 300 years.
But the place went under. We've talked about this many, many times.
Yeah,
I brought that up. The problem was the alliage, which is a combination. They changed the combination of in the coin. End of the Roman Empire.
Yeah, I'm saying.
Yeah, once you get a fiat currency, that's what's going to happen.
Well, I mean, are we following this?
This time is that we have the football.
Yeah. Well, but is it sound like the exact same thing?
With the launch codes. That's the only difference this time.
Does it make it? It sounds exactly like the world has been doing in the last 10 years, doesn't it?
Yeah. But when the currency actually holds the material that gives it the value, then this becomes an issue. When the Romans apparently recognized, or at least thought they could recognize, that the currency had become simply symbolic, representative of value somewhere else, and as long as everybody accepts that'll work. Once that ball uses it as a mechanism for payment, once the word gets out that, hey, this is no longer, we don't have the worth or the value backing up the currency, and the thing itself is not worth anything, then things start to fall apart. Then you get inflation. Then you get what happens in Venezuela.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know if you noticed this morning, they raised their interest rate 6.25%.
Turkey, sorry.
Well, Venezuela is probably, they're already at what, 40%?
Venezuela. Have you been following how the average Venezuelan has lost something like 10 kilograms of weight?
I mean,
they're starving. They're starving their population.
They've generated
what, 4 million refugees in South America?
I have
no more soup for you. Come back next year.
Well, you guys, I mean, Fari obviously grew up in Iran, and Lou, you've been around the world an awful lot more than I do. I have just a real quick economic question. If your currency all of a sudden becomes worth nothing, like it is in Venezuela, how do you get on the bus?
Or you're wrong right now.
What do you do when you get on the bus? They're all free, or you just walk on, and what can you give the guy or lady?
I mean,
I think it's a fair assumption. Those countries, the buses are going and run, so they have the fixed expenses. Certain things are fixed expenses. Won't change much unless it's a step function. It won't change continuously. But think of it another way. Merchants. I have a cousin whose father left them a very, very successful plumbing business. They did the northern part of it, Tehran, all the gas piping. When gas were introduced to residential housing, they did a lot of gas on the northern part of Tehran. They've done very, very well. But during the last few shocks of the inflation, because Iran has had this more than once, the only way they would price an item was a phone call. They took all the prices off the retail store. You would come to your store, you want to order something in plumbing services. There were no prices because they couldn't tell what the price is. They have to call the wholesale market, find a replacement value, quote that, and that order, and they say to you, this order is good for 1 hour, this price. It's good for 1 hour. You got to make up your mind.
Sounds like the day.
You come tomorrow, it's a different price.
So, Lou, quick question for you before we let you go, buddy. One of these days, my prediction is we're gonna get a CPI number that's like 1.2% a monthly. I'm gonna guess that it will not happen until after the election, but it probably should. I don't think it'll happen today, but it probably should.
I agree with you.
But you think? Oh, by the way, your President Bonesburg just says Jamie Dimon does not have the smarts to run for president. Is that the pot calling the kettle
hello.
Black? Is that the pot
well,
calling the kettle black?
You.
Or what? why would you?
He did very well at Dartmouth, and then he graduated near the top of his class at Harvard Business School. Please,
yeah. All right, Lou, thank you very much, buddy.
Daddy didn't write him a check.
Have a nice weekend. I hope you guys don't have any fires near you.
Thanks very much. You guys
buddy.
Take care. Fari, goodbye.
Talk to you soon, Lou.
Yeah, Fari, he doesn't have the smarts to be. I think probably he does. Just saying.
Hold on 1 second. All right. One more thing.
What are you doing over there, Fari?
I'm sorry. I'm on my interview this morning right now.
All right.
I'll call you back.
Are we going to?
Thank you.
Fari, are we going to see this?
Thanks so much. Bless you. I'm sorry.
If we get a real CPI number, are we going to see this 10-year yield shoot
over 3%? When it comes to inflation, I go to my dear friend Murray and Murray in on Rodeo Flats. I mean Beverly Flats, and we had seen them. Not personally, I'm here in Southwest Florida, but we have witnesses that last week they were doing cartwheeling down Rodeo Drive, because for a long time they avoided Rodeo Drive because their business is based on implied VIG, and with the rates that low, they were kind of cut back on their expenses. This past weekend, they were seen cartwheeling down Rodeo Drive. So that tells me rates are going up in a strong fashion.
Yeah, I think they might be too. I got to maybe get some of my people involved.
For 6,000, almost 5,779. We're year 5,700. So close to 5,800 years, these guys know how to predict inflation and interest rates. So we'll leave the experts to that.
Yeah, we'll leave the experts. The guys that go in there and see the prices go up every week. I think we're the experts, Fari. I mean, I'm just saying.
Just look at the impact it could have. Now, ours issue is very, very different. And we've talked about this in ad nauseum. Is interest expense on the budget?
Yeah. Well, anyway, hold that thought. S&P futures up 7.25. Dow futures up 74. NASDAQ futures up 30. You're right back. Stocks and Jacks.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed-income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, this is John Neal from PTI Securities and Futures and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, as well as the branch manager of our Peoria, Arizona location. I hope you, like many of our listeners, have benefited from the outstanding market returns of the last several years. But have you recently become unsettled due to the worldwide geopolitical uncertainty, the increased volatility of commodities and currencies, or the looming Federal Reserve interest rate hikes? If you have answered yes to any of these questions, we can help you. Here at PTI, we offer a unique variety of income-producing securities as well as our proprietary hedging program to protect your assets. More information about these exciting programs and much more can be obtained from our website at ptisecurities.com or feel free to email me at john@ptisecurities.com. That's john@ptisecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, Nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Holley, Mr. Fari Hamzy, Hamzy Analytics. He's Jay-Z on the board. S&P futures up 675. Dow futures up 69. NASDAQ futures up 29. Fari, we got a million and a half people on the road driving out of Carolina. What do you do in that situation? Just keep driving? Do you sign, see a sign that say room for rent cheap? Or what do you do? Where do you go?
First of all, you get out early. No, never wait late because, hey, you may have run and get out of gas. You remember, these are large parking lots.
Yeah.
Once you enter them, these highways. And they're outbound only. So if you could run out of gas just waiting in some issues if you're not planning anything ahead. You never wait. You get to a point where then you're rolling the dice for yourself and the family. We had the same decision matrix about 12 and a half months ago, right before Irma came, which was this week, a couple of days ago, last year. But we had to go through that decision matrix saying, okay, we're going to stay or we're going to go. Now, what's our launch window? If we miss that launch window, especially this part of Florida, there's nothing around you. You're at the bottom of a peninsula. There's basically one freeway out. And you could sit there. You could run out of gas. Nobody's going to get to you. You won't be able to call, what do you call it, AAA. They won't be able to get to you. Remember, typically these are both outbounds, both lanes, both sides.
There was a hurricane in Florida, probably 8-10 years ago. Fired.
Right.
And this friend of mine, she worked for, I won't say the name of it, but one of the big nursing home groups down there. And I think they were very worried. It was supposed to hit somewhere around where you guys are. So they had 4 or 5 days. They somehow choreographed. They moved all the people. There must have been like 100 beds in the place. They moved everybody across the state and up to like Daytona or somewhere.
Right, right.
And the hurricane missed the place by you, went north, went across the state, and whacked into the place in Daytona. I mean, nobody was hurt, I think.
Well, the reverse also happened with a friend of mine from Palm Beach Gardens, you know, Jupiter, that area, just that whole area up there, very close to where your buddy hangs out. Grumpino.
Yeah.
And they left for Tampa. They were so nervous about Irma. They left for Tampa. Apparently, this is not their first hurricane, so they've seen what it could do. So they left for Tampa. Guess what happened? Irma turned around, came on the west coast of Florida, went up, and it didn't hit Tampa. By then, the energy was down because it hit us. But it just dumped so much rain. And by the way, they paid to the roof for the hotel.
Oh, I can imagine.
Yeah. I mean, you don't ask the price. Do you have a room is the question. And you hand over your credit card. That's it.
Well, I was digging through the...
They may get insulted if you ask for a price. And they say, no soup for you. Come back next year.
Well, I was digging through hurricane history yesterday, so I could talk about it. And the barometric...
Do you see a correlation with the water temperature?
Oh, absolutely.
These Trumpkins to go over and explain to them what's happening there?
Without question.
You're a fairly scientific person.
Without question. But some of the ones for, the barometric pressure, but there was one that whacked into the Yucatan, and I don't think there are a whole lot of people live there. The thing was, it had 190 mile an hour sustained winds. It was the only one on record that did. It had the second or third lowest barometric pressure in the 26s, which is pretty darn low. And, boy, at 190 hour, what could, if that thing hit the Sears Tower, there wouldn't be a window left, would there, man? And the skin would probably still be up, but not much else. I bet it would tear the antennas off and everything. 190 yep. miles an hour. But anyway, Farley,
there's one more thing also I want to comment to those who are still listening in the Carolinas and they're on the fence. The biggest problem isn't there, in my opinion, after the water surge, which we had some here, not near us, but it came into like a, what's it called, Fifth Avenue South,
yeah,
which is like Brentwood. If you've been to Brentwood in in the left coast, this is like the Brentwood of Naples. The water there, a couple of feet, and this is the most like, posh, expensive area down here. So some restaurants had to shut down. Of course, the water receded. The problem post the this case different than in the Cape Hatteras or let's say Wilmington and so forth is the water surge, the beach surge. But post that, the next item is the days after. Okay, it's not then. Once that water pulls back, then you really begin to see the disaster, and what we saw here. That's the same as what we saw here last year. This time, a couple of days after, it dawns on you. This is a totally different setup. You're not in the same city. There's no water. There's no temperature. Heat. Electricity for cooling. There's no power to pump gas to you, even though you have some gas. The federal government sends you a tanker, but they can't pump to you. There's no sewage, so you can't use your bathrooms. It goes on and on and on. We lost in just the city of Naples, we lost 800 sewage pumps. So we had no sewage for several days. Now, I just happened to hang out. My decision-maker was, we have a friend of mine. Did you see the movie Valkyrie?
No.
You didn't see Valkyrie?
No.
Jay-Z, what are you putting in his coffee?
I will have to go see it now.
I don't make his coffee.
I'll have to go see it now.
Valkyrie, the group that tried to do a coup d'etat in East Prussia in 44 against, I believe, summer of 44. Against Hitler.
Oh, okay. I read a bunch of it.
The Top Gun guy was Cruise. Tom Cruise. Okay. East Prussia, where the bomb went off, they used to call it. I assume it's still there. It's called Wolf Lair. That was his East Prussia compound for the Hitler. There's a house like that, not that big, but smaller version of with the same, not the same security obviously, but fairly secure in a pine forest. We have a lot of pines around here. A lot of this area is forest. If you just walk out of what's developed versus undeveloped, you're in a pine forest. We stayed there with two gen racks and very secure, five dogs, to roam the area just to be careful, except when the actual wind hit. So we felt safe there, and we stocked it up, I don't know, for about a week. I mean, you name it. I mean, listen, the pantry there,
well,
the size of my apartment here.
The Black Forest is, that's where they used to do all the grinding of real high spec, like lenses and so forth, because the place was so quiet, there was no vibration.
Yeah. So, anyhow, long story short, we had, we stuck up, we stayed there, there were 12 of us, two infants and five dogs. And we hunkered down. The only problem we had about a week later, we got no water in, because it's built on a little bit of a hilly type, the main house is, and there was a guest house there too, but there was gas. And one of the guys had a special marine tank built into his truck. We called him in. Come in for a strike. We need some gas. And he came in, a poor guy, filled up our cars. Because there was nothing going on in the city. I mean, if you didn't go to the grocery store that you need something, and didn't clear the aisle, I know that's very selfish, of what you needed that you used to have, don't buy over, but what things you need, and you don't have a way of storing it and keeping it fresh, you're going to be out of food. I mean, the people who would never around here, never, ever would go to a Carl's Jr. or Carl's Jr. wasn't open even. Wendy's, would not go to a Wendy's. They were in line there trying to get a food because that was the only food that was in town.
Well, all right.
The generators, of course.
My feeling, it was the same thing, this thing in Carolina, it looks like it's going to land between two land pieces and there's no way it can get out of there. It can't miss if it wants to.
Yeah.
Anyway, the market-wise...
Look at the 40-inch forecast. It could be, remember, these are forecasts, so it's like markets.
Fari.
You make a forecast, everybody's opinion.
Fari, put on your tightest dress.
You'll be as deep as Charlotte.
Put on your tightest dress and go on TV and say you think it's going to be 45 inches. That's what they're doing. Where they're one-upping each other with better-looking girls. It's
Jay-Z,
news.
Jay-Z, it's your turn.
It's news. It's
no
a,
comment.
It's huge. Yeah, it's huge. No, we have an ad here. This is guy's a big, big dealer for cars. He's got every name. He's got a dealership in under. You know, Benz, this, that, Kia. You name his guy. And now his new ads even. And he's like in his late 60s, early 70s. His new ads are this blonde who's like 25 years old, and she's a very, very, not revealing dress, but very tight dress on. And they finish the ad by saying, this is huge. So, yeah.
Well, that's the thing.
We've
gone from, we don't reveal anymore, we just tightened up the outfit.
Yes, that's right. That's what they're doing. That's exactly what they're doing.
Anyway, Fari, my feeling going into the election and everything here is, most people are more afraid of the upside than the downside, because every time we start to go down, there's some announcement coming someplace. And, you know, we keep, you know, moving up a little bit at a time, and then now we haven't in the last week or two. But that mentality can be very dangerous, because, I mean, and I honestly believe that somewhere between now and the election, we're going to have two or three, they're going to declare, you know, China capitulated. I still have not seen anything except for the two items I brought up on the show regarding the automobile parts and so forth. I still have not seen anybody put out anything regarding Mexico that says, okay, here's 50 things in the old agreement, and here's 50 things in the new agreement, and here's how they changed. This is the biggest bunch of BS I've ever seen in all my years of watching government. I mean, now we're gonna declare victory in China, probably, and say they capitulated, look what's gonna happen. Does anybody even know what anybody's talking about? I mean, but the fact is, the market will move to the upside, I believe. Until one day when I think we're gonna get this, you know, one point something number in a CPI. I'm guessing not today, I'm guessing sometime after the election. And I think we're gonna have, you know, the 10-year yield is gonna run up, and we're gonna find out from all the people who are way too young that, rising interest rates is not good for banks and good for markets. I mean, they seem to think it is, but you know what, Fari? I remember when interest rates were 15% and the market was at 780. You know, so don't tell me how good high interest rates are for the market. Just saying.
No. Usually the rule is, Marty's awake, doctor's awake. The rule is 3 interest rate hikes. After that, it's done. Market is done. So, now, I would grant you from an actual impact quantitatively, because the base is so low, we have a little bit more extra room. But I wouldn't get too excited. You know, this thing, I think the problem with the market is going to be actually what I call the blue tsunami. Once the blue tsunami hits, it's not going to be blue wave. This is another making of it, by the way, the event in Wilmington, in the Florence. If you just read fear, just look at the fear. Listen, Amazon had to take the ad down, the order taken down, because they just ran out of orders. I mean, they basically said, we don't know when we're going to ship you the more. We cannot give you delivery of how much it is. Just read that, analyze it. The guy who was in 18 books, you know, his track record speaks for itself, and he knows how to record these things, so there's no question about sourcing. And this is a problem. And this is the same thing that's happening here with the, you've got to talk about trade. We don't, you're right, nobody knows what's going on over there. And every time there's a new twist to it, mainly because they just don't know how to manage it, they have no experience. Listen, I don't think we need to have lawyers trained as presidents. This one is, I don't know what his training is, construction maybe? He doesn't have any econ training. He was a bottom of his class. Look at this, all the professors they talk about him. And you can see the decisions he's taken. Like the farmers yesterday had a huge thing about for free trade. So it can't be economics. It's that he didn't go to business school. He went to undergrad. He didn't do well. So on and so forth. And everything he's touched has turned ugly. Just look at the record of his large activities. And all of a sudden he's doing this. Well, we need to strap in and be careful. We have a huge issues coming up shortly. I think we, not immediately, but somewhere here, we probably have seen the top.
Well, I think you're right, Fari, because I've been concerned, everybody who listens to me, it's not like I keep quiet about it. I'm concerned.
Well, you don't want to create a panic. Somebody like
you don't want to create a panic. I just.
But what I see, first of all, most of the timers I see at Timer Digest are all long.
How can you not be long?
Hello? Why? Because they're all using trend following systems. And you know better than I do, trend following systems are good until they stop working.
Well,
watch out. That's one thing. None of them is reading the geopolitical events. And if you look at the real clear politics, if you look at the number of indictments that Bob Mueller's got, none of this is just can be just fake news. Someone here is going to stay on the wall. It's not going to fall down. Watch out that day. And we have to be nimble and fast and take the short side immediately.
Well, I have been taught, let's put it this way, many, many lessons about the last 7-8 years because I'm a real disciple of, I guess I want to say, fundamental economics. I mean, you know, the Milton Friedman, George Stigler School. I mean, that's me. And
I'm
absolutely stunned at what these central banks have been able to pull off.
Yes.
I mean, Europe buying like every damn bond in the continent, Japan buying the market, which I never thought anybody would do. And our guys here have managed whenever we have any kind of problem, they pump more money in the system and they pop the market back up. And we've ignored inflation. We've cooked the numbers. We've done everything. We've not counted this, not counted that. We've taken the biggest thing that hurts the population in this country for the last 10 years, which is medical stuff, and we've managed to bury it at 6% of the CPI when it's 20% of the economy. We've done every possible thing to essentially lie to each other. And I never thought they'd get away with it this far. But I'm starting to sense, Fari, and I don't know if you agree with me or not, I'm starting to sense that the people in Europe, Draghi's going, I can't really go much more with this. This is about as far as I can go. I think the Japanese I'm getting the feeling, although I don't talk to Japanese people all day, I'm getting the feeling that they think they can't buy much more in the market. Now, on a daily basis, they will. But just in general, I don't think they can go to 50 or 55% of the market or 60. The 35 is probably too friggin' high already. And I get the feeling here that our guys are like, I mean, right now, this federal funds rate, you keep talking about these interest rates going up, those numbers are totally fake because they have not drained the system. There is no federal funds rate. I mean, it's that rate has become the amount of money that the Fed is paying.
It's the same artificial that's still in it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good point.
I hope
the average guy listening to this, I don't mean that in a negative way, but those who are not necessarily interest rate savvy, listen to what you just said. Write it down and, you know, as my grandma would say, cut it in stone.
What do you think?
You're right. This is very, very artificial.
What if the Fed today said we're not going to pay interest overnight on excess deposits in the bank? What do you think the real Fed funds rate is?
Oh, economically?
Yeah.
The Fed funds rate should be north of 5.
No.
I would say neighborhood of 5%.
No. I'm asking right now, what's supposed to happen is the Fed drains money out of the system. So
yeah.
Fari at Northern Trust calls up Jamie Dimon at Citigroup and says, or not Citigroup, but wherever he's at.
JP Morgan?
Yeah, JP Morgan. And says, I need $100 million overnight. That's the federal funds rate. But right now.
Yeah.
But right now.
I'm talking about FF, the IRX.
No.
Dollar sign IRX.
Oh, no,
you're sitting at 2 right now.
No, but listen, stop for a second. What I'm saying is right now the Fed is paying Jamie Dimon 2% overnight. So they're a competitor in the market. But the amount of money, if they all of a sudden said, we're not paying 2% tonight, there's still so much money in there that if the Fed got out of the way, I think the federal funds...
Hold on. Fed funds is between banks. You're talking about...
What I'm saying is this is the part that very few people, even people that are as wise as you, they haven't... The Fed funds rate has been totally a subterfuge by the Fed paying interest overnight.
I agree with that because they had... But that was only during the exceptional...
No.
They're paying your money with them.
They're paying 2% right now. They still are.
They still are paying 2%.
Yeah.
Why are they doing that?
Well, that's what I'm saying. That doesn't make sense. Well, because I'm saying the money is still in the system. They haven't drained it, so it's a fake number.
But right now, I mean, as a matter of fact, we made a comment about that in our last issue about Murray and Murray. That's their chart. If you look at this, 91 day, 5, 10, and 30. That gives you the term structure of the interest rate by each day, as each day moves up. You'll see the front end has been doing a steady up, okay, while we had very flat 5, 10, and 30, except last Friday.
Right.
All of a sudden, as of last Friday, boom, 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 coming in.
I would agree.
So something is up.
So I'm saying you're changing the whole system, and so people.
Yeah.
I'm saying, but the question is, there's a wall to this. What happens when you hit the wall? You've changed all the rules, and I think the wall is going to be a problem. Probably, I hope I'm wrong. I hope these guys can wiggle out of this. I mean, my guys are the.
It won't be easy. Remember, look at the numbers they're giving. No, think about it. Look at the numbers they're giving. They said take $1.5 trillion out in 2 years.
And they have.
From a 4.5 go to 3.
They
okay?
have.
And we used to run about 1 trillion.
Right.
Pre-event was 850 to like the 950 billion. Okay? It was under 1 trillion. We're 4.5 times of that. And all they're trying to do, and there's a huge argument, is that to take a 1/3 out. So, we're going to be, that balance sheet is going to be loaded for a while. By the way, it's trading right now, the IRX, it just loaded, okay? I was just ringing the machine up. It's at 2093, so you got to divide by 10. So it's 2.09, okay? It's trading at now. The high of the last 7 years is 2.108, okay? For the last 7 days. Now, but if, 7 years. But if you look at the chart, and I do a daily chart on a monthly support and resistance, this is unusual. Very unusual what has happened since November of last year. Go back to your chart. You'll see.
What is this? Is
November
this
of last year, almost every day, rate has made a new high.
This a funds
all rate? The way through March of this year, went flat slightly, then it's still rising. Almost every month, we get 2 to 3 new highs over a 7-year period. Okay?
This is what, now, the 30-year rate or 6-month rate? What are you talking about?
Pardon me?
Which
is the IRX. This is a 91-day discount rate.
Okay.
It's not a yield to maturity.
Right.
I'm finicky about interest rates. Again, because of my friendship with Murray and Murray, you have to compound this 4 times because this is a discount, the front end, okay? The other ones are actual yield to maturity because you have a full year at least in there.
All right.
The 5, the 10, and 30.
Five, you gotta stop.
2.88 right now. The high, now, look, notice this is the difference. The high is 2.94 for 7 years.
Right, Ferrari, stop for a second.
Stop
for a second because you introduced something. I just want to make sure everybody knows what you're talking about. When you go out and buy a 30-year bond, okay,
right.
you buy the bond, well, you never buy it exactly for 100, say 99.9 or 10, whatever.
Yeah.
And the government sends you a check for interest, and then they pay the bond at the end of 30 years.
Twice a year. Yeah.
But if you do a T-bill, which we just did for some people.
There's a discount.
You pay 99.9 and you get back 100. So you have to do
because
the
because there's no interest involved because it happens every 90 days.
There is no
interest. They took the interest out first, so you pay less.
Yeah.
That's implied. And then you get full value in 91 days.
Correct. So, I mean, so it's different. I mean, if you came to PTI and wanted to buy a T-bill, which people do, we're going to say we bought it at, 994 or something, and in 90 days from now, you're going to get the 100.
Well, and then because it's short-lived, there's only one issue. There's one I mean, unless they do it every week, then you have every week, but there's nothing that's holding more than 91 days.
But there's never an there's never
based
interest
on that exclusive, that has a maturity.
Yeah.
You look at what the current yield is, it computes back, and that's how the market would bid it. That's how theoretically the bid and ask is computed, put out with the broker dealers out there on their software, and you're going to hit it.
So
if you really have to buy, you hit the bid. Yeah, if you're comfortable, you want to play with it, you offer in the middle, or you hit the bid.
There's never an interest check. You never get
an
interest
check. But if you move out, it's not a discount anymore. If you go, for example, the 10-year is trading at 2.98. You see how close they are now? There's only 10 basis points between 5 and 10. Why would you want to stay another 5 years of risk for 10 basis points? Doesn't make sense.
Well,
it's 2.98, and what the 7 year is? 3.11. Now, let's move on to 30. 30 is sitting at 31.19. That means only 2 basis points over the current 10-year yield to maturity, but the 7 year high is 3.976, let's say 4. So, what does it tell you? I was a student of Richard Roll. He did the proprietary payoff for Goldman Sachs for all mortgages. So every time somebody pays off, he gets a little piece because he's a very smart guy. You know, he finished the Black Scholes model. Roel Geske, Whaley, Whaley's the one who did the VIX, and then the original VIX. And then Geske is the guy who did dynamic hedging in 87. Okay, these are very, these are financial pioneers. Roel said, listen, these are artificially, we're going to go to lower levels by 2000. This is back in 95. And you're going to see rates you would not believe moving forward. And you know why? You know why? Demographics and the national debt. This guy saw that back in 95. Look where we are. Now, mind you, Clinton had a 1 year, I believe, or yet one, or maybe six quarters of a positive balance sheet. Positive, yeah, I'm sorry, income statement for the government. That means we paid down the debt slightly, okay, slightly. I don't know how they finagled it, whatever, but on prima facie, they paid it down, okay? But since then, boom, 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 and of course, we exploded with Obama. Part of it is because he wanted to put everything on the books. All these offshore stuff, you call it offshore, quote-unquote,
right.
Financing, off-balance sheet financing, he brought them in, and now this year we have the largest deficit ever. So,
well, yeah, we're up to
whatever you believe in.
Whatever we're up to, what, we're up to what, $850 billion, and we got 1 month left this year, right?
No, it's going to be bigger than that. It's over a trillion, my friend.
Well, no, I'm going to say the 11 month number is 850. I just looked at it yesterday.
850 is for 1 month?
For 11 months. We're up.
Oh, for 11 months, I see.
So we got the month of September to
end. The expectation is over a trillion.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway,
we'll see.
Fari, thank you very much, buddy. SP futures up 8, Dow futures up 84.
We'll see you guys next week.
We'll come back with Mr. John Neal. Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs, interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous, no return on cash balances. May have some invested a little too much for comfort, some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with John Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we are also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. It might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI ProDirect can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI ProDirect. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Well, no banks, Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howell. Mr. David Animal, Mr. Jay-Z on the board. S&P Futures are putting the whip to a little bit here. Up 975, Dow Futures up 99, NASDAQ Futures up 39. So we're as high as we've been that I've seen so far this morning. Around the rest of the world, we've got little bullishness pretty much everywhere, especially over in Asia, finally. There's some rumor that we're talking again to China. We float this rumor whenever we want the market to go up. So obviously, if the Chinese thing is considered to be a win and we declare victory and that's all over, I got to believe that's a positive. DAX up 57.5%, FTSE down 16.2%. They're really the only outlier to the downside. Check around up 22.4%, so moderate to the upside there. Over in Asia, though, pretty big rally. Nikkei up. Now, these guys have been down all week in Shanghai and the Hang Seng. Nikkei up 216. That's a full percent. Shanghai up 31.1, but now they're still not back to 2,700. 2,686. Hang Seng did get back over 27,000, up 669. It's 2.5%. They've had a horrible week up to today, so they've gotten most of that back. Oil is down 96 cents as the report came out and said, even though Iran and Venezuela have been pretty much losing share, that the rest of the world has made up for it at least. Brent down 76 cents. Natural gas up a penny, 2.85. It's the size we've seen that in a little bit. Arbob gas, 202. Gold has now crept up a little bit, 40 cents. Was down earlier. Silver down 3 cents. Copper up a penny, 2.69. Trying to get back to 270, which is still pretty low for copper. Jay-Z, what do you got for us, traffic, weather, sports?
Thanks, Chief. Good morning, everyone. The time is 7:35. Chicago weather today will make it up to about 75 around mid-afternoon, coming back to about 65 in the evening. We're looking at a pretty sunny day, but maybe some clouds. Phoenix is going to hit 106 in the middle of the day today, cool down to about 88 in the evening. Cubs are still in first place in regards to the National League Central, despite their loss last night, which ended the game 5-1 against the Brewers. Anderson's two-run homer with two outs in the 12th inning gave the White Sox a 4-2 victory over the Royals last night, ending their seven-game losing streak. And the Diamondbacks had a devastating loss to the Rockies last night, ending the game 5-4 with a walk-off home run in the 9th inning. Left lanes are blocked on the Eisenhower just before First Avenue. Traffic is stopped, and the Kennedy Express lanes between Montrose and the Edens are closed due to an accident. That's all. Back to you.
David, I have to ask Jay-Z, in your pecking order of wild adjectives, is devastating worse than gut-wrenching?
Yes, gut-wrenching, you don't feel so good or whatever, but you're not devastated. Devastating is worse.
What do you think, Jay-Z?
I don't know. I would probably say devastating, too, you know, because, like, you had an expectation. But, I mean, they did have an expectation. That would suck. Yeah. Losing in the ninth inning with a walk-off home run, that is a devastating loss.
It's like being left at the altar, as they say.
Yeah.
Anyway, David,
there's still more games, so gut-wrenching you can come back from. Devastating, not always.
Speaking of devastating, I'm devastated here. What I've got on three different economic calendars, the Consumer Price Index coming out at 7:30 this morning. It is 7:35 or 7. I don't see it, David. Where the hell is it, or is it tomorrow? But I'm looking at two economic calendars, and I don't see it.
As we speak, I'll look that up.
Because PPI was yesterday, and it came out yesterday, and now I got 8:30 today, Thursday, September 13th. That's today, right?
Yeah. Ex-food and energy, the core rate, up a tenth. And I don't see the headline CPI.
I don't either.
I see year on year up 2.7% for the year. Core for the year, year over year, 2.2%. But I don't see the... I don't see the headline number, just the core rated up a tenth.
My prediction is, David, the second the election's over, we're going to have a number over one.
I don't know. That assumes that they're going to start being honest with us. But
I think at some point, with
what you've said, what I've, you know, researched, and especially what your brother said, they'll never tell us the truth.
But
as long as entitlements are outstanding and you have year to year cost of living increases, they'll never tell us because they couldn't fund it.
0.2% last month. I'm going to say the stuff I've seen in the last couple of months, David, there should be a full 1 point, maybe even two last month.
I agree.
Anyway, as I mentioned earlier in the show, my feeling is, and again, you're the chart guy, that everybody is so worried about them declaring victory in this Chinese thing and running up 500 Dow points in one day. Nobody's even concerned at all about the downside. And probably you shouldn't be. But, you know, I don't know how long that euphoria lasts, but I think it's there. I mean, I think that the risk is to the upside.
It depends. I mean, first of all, just because there's a second round meeting doesn't mean that there'll be resolution. I do think that sometime between now and the election, let's put it this way, between now and, say, January, February, there'll be some kind of resolution. And, I mean, that's a pretty big window, but I think that it hurts China a lot worse than it hurts us. So I do think there'll be but we don't know what kind of resolution that would be. We don't know what kind of shape that is. Does that mean this item is taxed at 25 and this one at 10, or 10 across the board? Or, you know, I mean, it'd be a big difference if, let's just say for sake of argument, and I do not think this would happen, but let's just say for sake of argument, we wiped out all tariffs. You know, that would lead to some euphoric response. If it's selective or whatever, and it doesn't address the intellectual property, you know, theft, which I doubt that it will, even though attempts will be made, then you have a half-hearted resolution like most of the other political settlements.
You know more about this intellectual property, I think, than I do, but I'm going to ask a question.
Only from my son, because he was in that area for so many years.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So, but my read of the situation is, and again, I've mentioned this before, I think for a real long time, The Chinese pretty much stole everything they could in terms of intellectual property. You know, they'd buy a Ford pickup and they'd take it apart and make one sort of. I mean, I think they're shameless when it comes to that, and have been forever. And for a long period of time, they had no problem in copying every Beatles album and you name it. And you know, the fact that they're, you know, 90 billion desktop computers, and they bought, you know, one piece of Microsoft software. I mean, I get all that, David. I think somewhat, though, our administration, to be honest, is in the past. I think that now today, everybody's stealing everything from everybody, including us, and stuff like that.
Yeah, once the ball rolls down the hill, and I mean, just again, my son dealt more domestically than internationally, but the firm that he was with in Atlanta actually did do a ton of stuff with electronics. You know, in Europe, they had one of the largest intellectual property settlements in Germany ever. I mean, like, an enormous amount, like 50 billion or something, yes, with a group of companies. But he suggested that even beyond the Chinese, the Japanese, copying markets, copying, you know, chips, copying this, copying that, maybe not so much in, you know, music and movies, although I'm sure that went on too, but just as far as engineering stuff and development, pharmaceuticals and the like, it's been decades and decades before the Chinese woke up and said, hey, if the Japanese can do this, why can't we?
Well, I mean, if you have, I'm not going to justify anything like that, but when you have somebody that you say it's a new drug, and it's a good new drug, and it helps people out, and you give somebody a patent, and somebody can produce the drug for $5 a pill, and it's selling it for $40 a pill, you know,
400.
Or 400. I mean, it's somewhere in this country, maybe you're, somebody overseas is going to say, what's that formula? I can do this for $5. I mean, what the hell, over. But what I'm getting at, David, it seems like the ones they're talking about lately, again, and I am not an expert in this area, are the Boeings of the world that essentially are swapping the technology for sales. Okay, you guys can produce the tail or whatever it is of the 787, but we want you to buy 787s, and China says okay. Now, if that's what you're concerned about, I'm going to say, are you willing to have a law that says Boeing can't do that? And if Boeing does, you slap whatever her name is, who's the CEO of Boeing, are we going to slap her in a penitentiary or give her a huge fine? And the answer is no. So, I mean, how much of this is going forward, and how much of it is being pissed off for what they did 10 years ago? And I don't know how you get that genie back in the bottle. It's not like you should forgive them.
I don't know the answer to that.
I mean, I honestly don't. I'm worried about going forward. I mean, are we going to say that Caterpillar, in return for, you know, an order for 90 bazillion bulldozers, can't, and China says, well, we got to make the whatever, the wheels over here, the Caterpillar. And by the way, we want the drawings of the whole bulldozer. Are we saying Caterpillar can't do that? Are we going to put them in jail? Are we going to, I mean, what are we going to do if that's what's happening? I actually don't mind that. I don't have a problem, David, with us coming up. I mean, I'm trying to be intelligent about this, unlike our administration. I don't have a problem with me posting as president. Here's a list of 50 things that we think are pretty darn important to this country. And by the way, I don't care who you are. I don't want you shipping the plans to China because they're just as much an enemy as they are a friend. You know what? I have no problem with that. Give me the list. Boeing can't give them the plans of the whole airplane. You know, Caterpillar can't do it for this. By the way, we don't want to give them anybody plans for the F-35. I mean, if there was a list that says you can't give it away, and by the way, you're going to jail if you do, I don't have a problem with that. Do you? I mean,
No, and I agree with you. There's what I think you're referencing to is selectivity. And I agree. I mean, instead of just saying, "Oh well, we have a $500 billion deficit with China, and they're just stealing our money." I mean, I don't care if Dollar General and Dollar Tree and Five Below get 80% of their toys and fans and bamboo this and paper plates that and the like from China in exchange for paper dollars. And it creates a deficit. I have no problem with that. Where I do have a problem, and I think what you're referring to, is whether it's instrumentation on a 737 Boeing aircraft or whatever, some kind of autonomous, instrumentation on a Caterpillar, bulldozer or whatever. Yeah, that I have a problem with, and if China says you can't sell the product unless you show us the drawings and the technology, then yeah, I have a problem with that.
Well,
I think that's what you're referring
to. Yeah, and I think we have a president who somehow is fixated on this. We have a trade deficit with China. They must be screwing us. But oh, by the way, we got a trade surplus with these guys. And I mean, he appears incapable to me, and I don't know.
Yeah, you can't just look at the bottom line and say that's the end all. I mean, if all $500 billion is for bamboo fans and paper plates, I have no problem.
The whole idea of having a multi-country trade agreement, which it doesn't appear that he gets, is that if I have a surplus with these guys and a deficit with these guys, and those guys have a surplus and deficit and it all sort of evens out, isn't that the whole purpose of it? Isn't that the whole idea of having a multi-country agreement?
Sure,
but I'm saying, so how
and
do you?
He wants to negotiate everything, one on one,
right? Which, so we had a little bit of a spike up in the gold. I think actually on Tuesday morning we hit a low on gold. I don't think we're going to test it again, David. If we were down heavy on Tuesday,
you had mentioned copper before, and then is it cheap? Yes, but that technical formation is a bottom. I mean, it doesn't mean that you can't go back, 7-8 cents to 260. But if front month copper can hold 260, maybe 9 cents, because top step is now December. If you can hold 9 cents lower, that is a bottom in copper, and that may have implications, especially for Asian economies and China.
Yeah, I think their market. If I was a trader of the Hang Seng, I'd probably want to be long here. 16-year lows yesterday morning, weren't they?
Yeah, I, you know, and enough's enough, and the divergence and reversion to the mean and all the technical terms. But I, you know, something has got to give. Either they have to bottom or we have to top. I just don't think 30% differential in the equity indexes, you know, thus far this year is going to last.
No,
something's going to either we're going to come in or they're going to bottom out, and maybe there'll be a little bit of both.
Well, yeah, but I certainly don't want to see us dropping 30%. That would not be good.
No, but maybe we retrace 5 and they come up 10.
Well, that would be the nicest outcome. I would say, but I'm still sort of afraid of I don't know if it's my trading mentality, that the reason why these announcements that come out of Washington that are bullish, it spooks the market to the upside. I think these guys front run everything. I honestly believe that. I think these guys have taken insider trading to a new level. I mean, I don't have any proof of that, but
say these guys, you mean the Chinese?
No, I'm saying that every time your buddy Larry Kudlow or somebody comes out and said, oh, no, we're not really fighting, we're actually really talking when the market's down because we're fighting with China, I think that 15 guys in the White House have made a trade before he walks out. I mean, they had some people on Fast Money last week, and one of the guys was whining because there was a few administration, you know, so we say sympathizers. Oh, we're doing this, we're doing that. And he goes, you're going to come out with this bad news announcement, and all of a sudden the market's going to be down, and you're going to run out either Munchkin or Larry Kudlow, and you're going to say the market shouldn't be down because look what a great job we're doing. He goes, it's happened every time. And he's got, oh, no, we don't do that on purpose. He goes, what
but
are you talking about?
They always do that.
Oh, sure.
I mean, I don't care if you go back Obama, Bush, Bush Sr., Clinton. I mean, there was always spins to everything.
Right. I mean, the reaction to even just a regular down day in the market, that's sort of new in the last couple administrations.
No question. I mean, there's no question that Trump measures his success by what the market's doing, other than, you know, he's got this, you know, penchant for this trade war, trade tariffs, et cetera, that if it bothers the market for a day, a week, 2 weeks, you know, that's fine. But other than that, his success is measured by the performance of the stock market.
In his mind.
In his mind.
Yeah. Well, I don't think there's any. So, I mean, I think you have to sort of guard against the upside. And still, David, we're locked in these. I'm going to say, if you did a study of an option study of volatility in the last, really, it's almost 7 or 8 years, I think you would find the quote normal I'll get a little too technical here, but the normal distribution curve that people, that's what the Black-Scholes model is based on. Well, it's actually log normal because it can't go below zero. But the over a period of time, ever since options have been around, since 1973, most statistical evidence, David, would show that the fat part of the curve is actually a little fatter, right? You have more less than one standard deviation moves than you would expect, and you have more, you know, three times standard deviation moves than you would expect. So the thing is actually scrunched. The tails are fatter and the inside's fatter. I'm going to say the last 5-6 years, that's even worse. We have so many days where we don't have any kind of a one standard deviation move. I mean, with the 1 year, we didn't have any the whole year, did we? Was it 2 years?
It was months and months and months. Yeah. I don't know how many, but I know you're right. I think it was something like 6-7 months.
I mean, we're absolutely locked into this on any given day. If we're down, you're a seller of puts. If we're up, you're a seller of calls. And we're kind of back in what I'm saying. I mean, I don't ever do that for anybody. Just naked sell puts or calls for people. And we would never let any of our retail people do that unless they were Daddy Warbucks and they were selling a 10 lot. But that's what I'm saying, David, is that gets old. I mean, everything comes around one way or the other. I mean, and this idea that everything's a fade, down 2 days, well, we got to go back up 2 days.
And every time, you know, I mean, basically every time you've really the VIX between 18 and 20, it's been an all-out sell for move down to 11.
Yeah, every single time. And for people to say that, I mean, I've used this. It's such a dumb thing. It's like going out to the golf course and seeing everybody come off and saying, wow, there's nobody out there. I think I'll go play. Yeah, but sir, there's a lightning warning. When's the last time somebody got struck by lightning? I'm saying you could do that for 40 years, but you still got to worry about the next day, right?
I mean, right.
And I don't think we have any of that. I mean, I don't see, Do any of the people you talk to individuals? And you know, there's a lot of contributors to the show, and I ask them questions off the air about, gee, is anybody in your law firm? You think last week any single person in your 400 person law firm changed his 401k from 90% growth to 75? Well, no. Why would anybody do that? Everybody knows.
Well, and the other side too.
Yeah. Well,
the other side too. I won't mention any names, but a very close relative of mine, younger generation, making a good ticket and has all the investable wealth, and they ought to be planning for some growth. They're so conservative because they're so risk attuned that they're in, bonds and notes and, debt issues and REITs and this and that and the other, and you couldn't get them to buy one share of a spider if their lives depended on it, even if they should.
But they're going to buy bonds at 3%? Good luck with that.
and they think, all I want is, I don't care if I make a 0.5%, but I can't lose 1%.
Well, I'll tell you, David, if ever you want to get...
And so a lot of those folks have really, really missed the boat.
If ever you want to get somebody's attention at a cocktail party, everybody's hanging around with their pinky up, drinking their glass of wine, just mention that in 1981, when we bottomed on the interest rates, at that time, I believe, you'll know this better than me, the signature bond that we traded was either 8 or 8.5%, right?
Yeah, 8.5.
Somewhere, I don't know which one it was.
That was the standard.
And that bond traded, I think the low tick was what, 64?
Something like that.
So I mean, if you go buy a 3% bond out 25 years, or 3.3 or whatever it is now, if you buy that bond and you pay 100 cents on the dollar and the interest rate goes to 6, you better be prepared for that thing in your PTI account or your Schwab account or any place to be staring at you at 55 or 60. Now, granted, you'll end up getting your 100 cents on the buck 25 years from now, but it's not going to look good in the meantime.
No.
Right? I mean, I don't think people learn that.
And that's the thing. There's nobody in the middle. It's all the total risk averse. And the ones who are so aggressive that, they'll buy these cannabis stocks at, 13 times projected next year's sales.
Right.
Not earnings, sales.
Yeah, and I don't know. We seem to have lost almost a generation that doesn't even realize what discounting anything means. I mean, Farrah and I were just trying to explain how when you buy a T-bill, you don't buy the T-bill and then get an interest check. You buy the T-bill that's going to be worth 100 cents on a dollar 90 days from now. You pay, 0.989 for it or something, and the difference is the interest.
Right.
And it discounts back. But I don't know that they even teach this anymore. I mean, there was a time in the early 80s, Jay-Z, where if somebody would have said, Jay-Z, I'm giving you $100,000 10 years from now, you'd almost say keep it. because what was the net present value of it? Like 15 or 20 or something? I mean, it was still better than sharp stick in the eye, but you start discounting stuff at 7, 8, 9, 12%, you're like, right? I don't think anybody even has that instinct. I mean, somewhere, someday, we'll get the instinct back because somebody will get a jam where the sun don't shine. But I get this feeling, David, honestly, you and I have talked about this. And again, this is just one guy's feeling. And I think the European Union, Draghi's thinking he can't go much further. I think the Japanese people think that 35% of the market's kind of about all they could buy. And I think here our guys are reaching a point where this inflation, every Fed guy was on TV and I was talking about inflation moving up. I think they're getting to the point where we better watch what we're doing here. We're not looking at a 2.9% number. We're looking at a 5, even the way they calculate it.
No, I agree.
David, I don't want that to happen because unless you're over the age of 55, I don't think you have any concept of how painful that was. And I don't know how you... The idea that they're even playing with those days. I mean, anybody who was in business in the late 70s, early 80s, any thought of going back to that, should be so abhorrent, David, that we never make that mistake again. It's like a war. Yeah, we always seem to forget. The next generation, hey, let's go to war again. And they realize everybody comes back with no arms and no legs or don't come back. Hey, this is a bad idea. And all of a sudden, 15 years later, let's do it again. I mean, it's like, duh. So what are you predicting here? We've got So the how what is the
they're scheduled to meet, second meeting between Chinese and U.S. I think it's the 21st. So that's not so far away next week. But I think it'll be drawn out. I don't think there's going to be anything big time substantive. I mean, we shook hands with Europe, and we're certainly closer with Europe, at least philosophically, maybe politically, and nothing substantive come out. So I think the market probably will hold together and hope, that there'll be some kind of resolution, but I think it'll be dragged out. And I honestly don't think that anything will really be resolved, materially until at least the election, or close to the election, or most likely thereafter.
All right, David, 20 seconds. Oil, I've heard people say because of Iran and Venezuela, it's going to go to 90 this year. And now today we came out with a report and said there's as much oil without those guys there because everybody else is making up for it. Which camp are you in?
I think it's trade. I really do. 61, 62, front month is a buy, and I think 74, 75 is a sell. In between is no man's land.
I think you're probably right. SP Futures up 8. Thank you, David. Duffy's up 84. Jay-Z, good job. Back tomorrow, Stocks and Jacks.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTISecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. HomeSource Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. Dax Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.